of the Brahmana of South India, who was illiterate but who had faith in the words of his spiritual master, and because of it he had a Krishna darshan when he read the Bhagavad Gita. And I thought we would just hear a little excerpt from a lecture. My dear devotees, wouldn't it be nice if we could be like this simple Brahmana? please see him in your mind's eye in the court of a temple. He does know how to read, but he has simple faith, and he reads. He turns the pages, and he sees Krishna with Arjuna before his mind's eye. He has the darshan of his beloved Lord and cries in ecstasy, and his beloved Lord acknowledges this and comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and embraces him and tells him, "You are the true knower of the Bhagavad Gita. You have reached enlightenment in the Gita. You are the expert." Simplicity, simple faith is a very important. We will now go to the second principle which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. He taught this principle through Ramananda Roy. It is sense and mind control. I believe that most of you who are present today have ample experience of our philosophy through reading and hearing. So I will only make a brief introduction to sense and mind control, because I feel it's a given. It's commonly understood amongst Vaishnavas of our movement. And I will spend the major time of my philosophical explanation by giving you a very, helpful advice, which is based on Ayurveda, how to control the body and the mind. And the mind. I do hope it will help very much. also, I will tell about Ramananda Roy. Okay, so we will start here. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita discusses how sense gratification and Krishna consciousness do not mix. Elsewhere it is stated, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness won't mix as much as ghee and water will not mix. Have you ever poured ghee in the water or vice versa? Or oil acts in the same way. It just doesn't mix. It remains there. You may, when you stir it, have some ghee drops here and there and everywhere, but still the mixing of the actual two substances will never take place. So as long as one is conditioned in this mood of the enjoyer, who wishes to enjoy separately from Krishna's enjoyment, one will not really be able to have Krishna consciousness. One will have some mental impressions about Krishna consciousness from the statements of the Gita, but one will not really understand. Krishna describes this in the second chapter. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyayasayatmika buddhi samado navidiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. The adhika, to understand, the ability to understand, will not come if we are diverted to our own enjoyment. Only when we begin to understand, to work for Krishna's enjoyment, if we have done this paradigm shift, will we really be able to do devotional service. And it takes some determination to get there. Now, if you patiently hear now about Ramananda Roy, you will be able to glean some hints, because it was how to get there, how to make this paradigm shift. Because Ramananda Roy, to an extreme degree from our perspective, and with this I want to say, Ramananda Roy can't be imitated. So Ramananda shows to a very, particular and very outstanding and outshining degree what mind and sense control is, and actually how it is possible. There was once a great scholar. His name was Pradyumna Mishra, and he came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a request to hear Krishna Katha from him. I see there are more devotees, and we also have more chairs. Maybe Manohar, you could be so kind to supply our devotees with chairs, because it is much more comfortable on a chair. Please sit comfortably. I think your name is Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela or Krishna Rupa? What? Nama Krishna. I'm sorry. So, Pradyumna Mishra was a jnani and a very intelligent person, and he had strong inclinations for bhakti, and now came to Mahaprabhu, the great master, to hear Krishna Katha. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are very fortunate that finally you have acquired a taste to hear about Krishna. But please, don't make the mistake to hear from me, because I'm only a Mayavadi sannyasi. Only Ramananda Rai knows something about Krishna, and even I go to him to hear from him. So the redirected Pradyumna Mishra went to the property of Ramananda Roy and was received by the servant, who put him into the waiting or the assembly room. But because the servant had many things to do that day, he forgot to inform Ramananda Roy that an exalted guest had come. Ramananda Roy was busy somewhere else. Finally, when his patience wore thin and the day approached its end, Pradyumna Mishra again called the servant and said, "What is Ramananda Roy doing that is so important that he cannot, receive his guests?" The servant was a simple-hearted person, in the definition which we gave, and he told what his master was doing. He said, "Well, there are two beautiful, youthful girls who are expert in the art of dancing, and Ramananda Roy has written a drama which he intends to perform for Lord Jagannath. It's called the Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, and he is now teaching these Devadasis how to express the moods. Pradyumna Mishra was getting an alarm ring. Maybe he was something like the he wanted to hear. He had finally approached the stage where he was ready to hear from a bhakta, and he wanted, of course, to be sure that the bhakta he would hear from is of high moral integrity. But here he seems to be a dance teacher. I'm not sure if I'm at the right place, he thought. The simple-minded servant continued. He said, yes, Ramananda Roy takes the service so serious that he cleanses the undressed bodies of these devadasi. He massages them with oil and then personally bathes them because yes, he wishes them to dance, to be in the proper state where they can satisfy the Lord. So maybe Pradyumna Mishra at this time says, I'm in the house of a tantric. So finally this servant said, oh, I totally forgot to inform him, and he went to Ramananda Rai, who had just finished the instruction, the drama instruction, and the girls had just left the property by an not by a public path, and they had gone home. So when Ramananda Roy heard about Pradyumna Mishra, he was immediately, I feel very honored, and went to the assembly hall and very humbly said, how can I serve you? Pradyumna Mishra said very politely, oh, it's already very late. I have to go to do my evening duties. Thank you very much. And he went away thinking that, why did Mahaprabhu send me to this address? My dear devotees, something for our information, because maybe a question arises in our mind about Ramananda Roy's activities, why, and we may not be knowing so much about him. You must know that Ramananda Roy, like most of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, really is an eternally liberated associate of Chaitanya, of the Lord. To be very precise, he is Vishakha in Krishna Leela, whose service is to be the singing teacher of the gopis. There are verses by the Goswamis which say, when will Vishakha teach me the proper tunes to satisfy the divine couple? In other words, for Vishakha Devi to teach girls is totally proper and natural. And Ramananda Roy wanted to teach, or needed to teach, how to display love through the gestures, through facial expression, through the eyes. And he knew how to express this high degree of devotional love for Krishna through this. So he taught the girls how to gesture. Now, I'm just giving you an idea how to look in a loving way, which is an art for itself, which is described also in the work of Bharat Muni, about how a lover looks at a beloved, that there's a certain glance is there, and so on. And here, these devadasis were supposed to look like this at Lord Jagannath, Lord Krishna, the real lover, and therefore intense training was necessary how to do this. I personally would have no idea how to look at a lover in a loving way. It is a science, in other words. Maybe when the love is in the heart, then it comes naturally, I suppose. Pradyumna Mishra came the next day to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately asked him, so did you hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda Roy? Pradyumna Mishra said, Mahaprabhu, he did this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obviously knew already as the Supreme Lord and Super Soul, and he gave now Pradyumna Mishra a very beautiful explanation. He said, I am a sannyas. I'm in the renounced order of life. But my mind and body change when I hear or see women. Who could remain unmoved in this world? But Ramananda Roy's mind does not change. When we are exposed, when the Mahaprabhu is here now, the great teacher, I think you will enjoy this, hearing this very much. When Cupid, the god of love, is invited on the stage of your consciousness, your consciousness begins to change by his arrows. It's a great science, and I will make a little advertisement. It will be described in the book, the Gayatri book, that there are five arrows of Cupid which struck an ordinary conditioned souls in the heart. Maybe some of us will flush now in their faces. That's intended. When the Amra arrow comes, there is a maddening of the consciousness. One becomes forgetful and possessed. There is also, I will not go through every one of the five, there's also something like a bewildering. In Lord Shiva, who is really very, very detailed, talks in the Rudra Samhita in a very interesting way about the five changes which happen in the mind, which I thought very nice. The first is Harshana. One feels a delight, a gladdening. One is thrilled with joy and desire. And the second effect is one feels charmed. And one has satisfaction. Therefore, everyone is so interested in Cupid and its arrows in this world. The third arrow is one begins to feel a little confused about his duty. And one is ready to throw everything down for love. Love makes the world turn around, they say. And the fourth and fifth arrows I find especially interesting for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Because they really, and also grihasthas, because these two last arrows encourage us in our decent behavior, which we have in our spiritualist. Listen to the fourth arrow. You wither and parch and dry up. Because how can our Kamadev satisfy our desires, which only Krishna can satisfy? And the last arrow is called Marana, killing or destroying. People really experience a lot of misery by this irresponsible love called sense and mind control. We know it's a very immature form of love described as trishna, or thirst, where you don't really see the other person as someone who has own desires and own right to live. You just see the other person like you see a glass of water, where you don't ask, can I drink you, please? No, you just go, make even indecent noises while you do it. A lot of what goes on under the name of love is only trishna, or thirst. And obviously there's not a good result for this. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, if someone is transcendentally situated, and he has obviously Ramananda Roy in mind, and follows the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he hears and speaks about the Rasa Leela dance of Sri Krishna, I better read the whole thing for you. This is a little long. Do you have a good intention at this moment? Yeah? Please hear. It is a little philosophically not challenging, but it's on a high level of discussion. So, if a transcendentally situated person, following the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, hears and speaks about the Rasa Leela dance of Sri Krishna, and is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, while serving the Lord day and night within his mind, what shall I say about the result? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in other words, when you are transcendentally situated and absorb yourself in the loving exchange of the Lord, there is an incredible result. It is so spiritually exalted that it cannot be expressed in words. Such a person is an eternally liberated associate of the Lord, and his body is completely spiritualized. Although he is visible to material eyes, he is spiritually situated, and all his activities are spiritual. By the will of Krishna, such a devotee is understood to possess a spiritual body. It's a beautiful series of verses, and I encourage you to read this in your reading time. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, 5th chapter, 49 to 50. For here, I want to just say, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Pradyumna Mishra, you understood Ramananda Roy from the material perspective, but he is not a material being. He is transcendentally situated, and he is absorbed in the highest level, where sense gratification and mind agitation is not an issue. Go quickly! It's morning time. He will be still in the assembly room. Pradyumna Mishra had no choice. He went again. Ramananda Roy said, oh, yesterday I couldn't serve you. You are here again. How can I serve you? Pradyumna Mishra said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent me to hear topics of Krishna from you. Ramananda Roy said, what topics? What about Krishna? What you spoke to the Lord in Vidyanagara when you met him. Ramananda Roy began to speak. But before he said, I am only a beggar, I don't know. You are my maintainer, you are a high-class Brahmana. And then he entered the ocean. It's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the ocean of rasa, means high spiritual taste, became agitated and began to flood over its embankments. Finally, they were still discussing Krishna Katha. As the evening approached, the servant said, the day has already ended. But Ramananda Roy had not yet finished Is there an end to Krishna Katha? No. Finally, somehow or other, the brakes were hit, and Pradyumna Mishra, by this time, had totally been transformed. He danced in the assembly room with great abundance, rushing back and forth, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. Then he went home, took a bath, and ate, and went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the evening. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so, have you heard? Pradyumna Mishra said, Ramananda Roy is not an ordinary human being. And do you know one last thing he told me? Yes, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he tell you? Well, he said, whatever I speak is personally spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to me. Like a stringed instrument, I vibrate whatever he causes me to speak. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj muses about this. He said, who can understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Our Radhika Raman yesterday said that everything is opposite in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chooses to teach the highest things through Shudras. Ramananda Roy is socially belonging to the Kayasta community, which is in the Shudra category. He speaks through Shudras to learned scholars like Pradyumna Mishra. He speaks to Muslims through a Muslim, his highest spiritual principle, which is Nam Ruchi. Taste in the holy name. And he uses Rupa Goswami, who was ostracized by the Hindu society, to give all the tattvas, all the truths, bhakti tattva and avideya tattva, and so on. Because he wants that we jump from the horse of our pride, which lets us march in this world and come down to a humble state of mind, which is another principle which we will go to in a few days. I would now like to say something interesting, but would like you to make a note in your heart. Ramananda Roy was totally unagitated in mind and senses because he was established in his original position. Please excuse me. How can we become stable in mind and body so that we can find in our heart the strengths to develop the heart strengths to develop Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada has written in one of his purports that the main difficulty which we have is a weak heart. We don't find the strength in our heart. Why not? Because we are diverted really to the material energy through our senses and our minds. We had a theater play just now in Serbia where the main actors were hooked to a viewing device and they would see something because their consciousness was hooked to an electrical device, and then so many illusions were possible for them, or many many visions or perceptions. So in much the same way, we as conditioned soul hooked by our senses and our mind to the material phenomena. And Maya has a direct access to our perceptions. And yes, when a boy sees a girl, or a young girl sees a young boy, they start to sweat with excitement. And that's already a high temperature. Maybe something else is happening in the beginning. And it is, Prabhupada says, even a saint is not necessarily, he says, thoughts are coming and going, indicating that there are also emotions of attachments and so on. What to do? I would like to park this question a little bit and pretend to talk about something totally else. This is done when you do preaching. You want to totally relax your audience by talking a subject matter which they don't know where this will go. And I will do this now, and then I will surprise you by coming from a door which you don't expect. Hare Krishna. Let us talk about eating for a while. Those who eat and like to analyze the eating know that on the tongue the Lord has placed taste buds. In the front category here, the tip of the tongue, there are those taste buds which are able to perceive sweetness. And there are other departments, and I believe in the back, way back, is bitterness, like neem leaves and so on. In this way, the tongue can experience the five material rasas or tastes. Now, when you eat, this is very interesting. I will now tell you how to perfect the art of eating. You will not believe it. In Ayurveda, someone who wants to eat massages even his taste buds every morning to have them vibrant and dynamic for the art of eating. So if you eat, there are three important processes. The first is registration. This is done through the taste buds. Oh, it's sweet. This registration is important because when the food is registered, the appropriate enzymes to digest the food are built. The second is registration. First is registration. Reception. I made a mistake. First is reception. Then comes registration. And then the food is accommodated. You receive a thali, and to receive it, or your prasadam, you should look at it, and your eyes will see. And then comes the next thing, the registration. This is done on the tongue with the taste buds, and you get a registration form that is the saliva which goes around it, and then it goes down. And then comes accommodation, first in the stomach and then wherever the digested food goes to build up the dhatus, the tissues in the body. This is very important, and therefore it is not good if during eating you have so much diversion. Important discussion should never be done during eating, because your mind is not free for reception, registration, and accommodation. This is the body, and your digestion will suffer. Therefore, those who eat Ayurvedically will prefer to eat in peace, see the food, eat it with the hands so that the body will receive the food properly, and so on. And in this way, reception, registration, and accommodation can go on. That's very important for health. Only if you do this can you really have the full benefit of healthy food in your life. If you are diverted, this cannot happen, and digestion and a lot of vata problems come, and so on and so forth. It's almost like in a hotel. You come in at the hotel counter, you are received already at the door by a boy, a hotel boy, who says some meaningless phrases. I'm so glad to see you, and so on. You're received. Then comes the registration, name, passport number, and then comes the accommodation. Your room is room 52. Three processes. Now, when a hotel is already filled up, this process will not happen. This is the one sentence which you have to keep in mind. My dear devotees, life in this world is in the same way. We have five senses, not just the sense of the tongue. And constantly impressions are coming and bombarding us, especially in this modern time, where life has become so external and the finer cultures and internal life is not so much in vogue or not known about even. Yes, there's constant bombardment. Also in our Hare Krishna movement, I was in Alachua, there was an intense discussion about the belly button. I remember I did not take part, but coming from a conservative European background, Hare Bol, this is when you're in Rome, then you will see many new things from Rome. There is a provocative atmosphere, even in spiritual circles. We are in this world, modern times, and so on. And I will not make any statement here. Let everyone express themselves, and let everyone also remain peaceful. That would be very good. What I wish to say here is, when you are already filled, when your hotel of life is filled, then you will not receive, register, and accommodate so much external stimuli. It's almost like a filled hotel. The boy at the reception will say, we are already filled. Please go two streets down. There is another hotel. So a person who is spiritually filled, even though he is surrounded with mind and sense agitations, will not respond. He will be happily and joyfully in his life. The best example, really, for filling yourself up is coming from the court of Mathura, where Ambarish Maharaj had the rule in olden times. He had a beautiful deity, and he teaches us how we can remain immune from sense and mind agitation by a very wonderful process which is described in the Bhagavatam. If you would like to look this up, you can find it in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, verse 61. I personally believe it can be a list of spiritual activities which engage all your senses, not just the tongue, in a very fulfilling Krishna conscious way, so that you are very happy and joyful and fulfilled in your own life, and not agitated about anything. not even a belly button. I'm saying this and joking. So please listen to this amazing program of sense and mind control, which is based on just this simple fact that he who is fulfilled cannot become full with something else. Please say, Sa. Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayo. And it continues on. King Ambarish Maharaj, can you imagine what he fixed first? Where he first filled in a Krishna conscious guest, in what department of his senses? The mind. Voila. Thank you very much. When I had made the mistake to chant the Sanskrit first, but usually in a Hare Krishna audience, you know, they will say, the tongue, prasadam. That is somehow they have been trained like this. Eat prasadam, everything will be all right. But this really doesn't bring you happily through life. Prabhupada says devotee means the mind. Mind is first. If you do anything thoughtless, just like when eating, your mind is here in a highly intense discussion, and you eat, and the whole body, sometimes you feel it doesn't really know how to work. It goes here and you talk here, and you're totally bewildered, the poor machine. So the mind is important. King Ambarish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He engaged his words, he talked, in describing the abode of the Lord. His hands were engaged in cleansing the temple of the Lord. That's very nice. When you engage your hands in cleansing. I found out that the best back exercise is cleansing. Do you know? There's a back therapist there. You go like this. Oh, it's so good. May I know if you are attentive again? Prabhuji's, Mataji's, let us clean. The temple of the Lord is very wonderful. It also is good for the back, but it really helps you to become spiritually surcharged. His ears he engaged in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. His eyes in seeing the form of the Lord. The body he engaged in touching the body of the devotee. He says his body in touching the body of the devotee. I was often asking myself what this means, and devotee said, no, it means devotee association, because when you are in strong, tightly knit devotee association, you will, you know, bump into each other. It is not not something else than this. So his nostrils in smelling the flavor of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and so on. I will not go through the whole list, because when one is listening to a whole day of seminars, it's difficult to register when one hears so much information. And all these qualifications made him fit to become a Madhpara devotee of the Lord. My dear devotees, I would like to recommend to you to go to this verse. I know that only out of 40 Hare Krishna listeners, 2 will do this, but for the 2 I am speaking, go to this verse and apply the text in your life. It will be extremely transformative as an experience. I know devotees who have made, before they go into this world, they have made a poster on their door. There are all this, think of Krishna, and all the different things they do want to do, and they make marks what they do for each day as a project. So then you will be filled with spiritual impressions, and material impressions will not enter within you. Thing here is, I want to encourage you to engage the mind in Krishna service. And then you are actually free. The mind is there. It is happily engaged in Krishna. And then you go through this world. You might do service in a rock and roll concert where you see many, many, many... everything, where you see everything. You're not disturbed. You're immunized. I feel it's much better to teach sense control and mind control through this than instill a fear. Don't look here, don't look there. How in the Christian monasteries they say, Brüder, schlag die Augen nieder, um die Ecke kommt ein Mieder. What this means in English is very difficult to translate. Is brothers, look down, around the corner a Mataji comes. This is definitely not the highest level of mind and sense control, and it's childish. If we want to live like, if we grow up like this, we will be neurotic at one stage. So it's good to follow the way of Ambarish. The way of the spiritual eagle. The way of Ambarish is to engage his mind first and the senses second in Krishna service with a nice program. Hare Krishna. I develop an intense relationship to the time in Radha Desh. Usually it's not so much there, but I would like to see if there's a question at this stage. Tapas Prabhu, your name is Tapas. Yeah. This is a question to yesterday's lecture, where Tapas Prabhu asked about the difference between a childlike, simple faith and blind faith. There are certainly many ways to answer this. The only thing which comes to mind at this day, the first thing, now others come, but the first things which came to mind is the difference between Anusharan and Anukaran. Anusharan means to follow, whereas Anukaran means to imitate. The moment you are in an imitative mode of operandos, where you do something beyond your adhikar, your ability, then you come in the imitation platform, and there you are no longer safe. You don't know what is what, because you are not connected with yourself, means your qualification in this sense, and you might develop into a fanatic. See, a fanatic is that common species in religious movements, not a rare species, unfortunately very common, fanatism, where someone picks up something, ideas, and they are really not connected with his realization, and he does something, but he gets it all wrong and is very like a train who has left its tracks and rumbles and tumbles and makes many blunders. So I think blind faith is a little bit in this area. Whereas simple and childlike faith is there where one is, and so on. I'm aware while I give this answer that this answer explains only about 20 or 30% of your questions. There are many more areas. It would be very nice, actually, if I may turn to my learned Varagi Bhai. His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, to hear his answer. I hope I don't overwhelm you. Do you have an immediate answer to this question? We will give you a microphone then. Maharaj said something which is very good, that the imitator, we call the one who has blind faith, only tries to cover with his external show his own lack of faith. He doesn't have faith, and he overdoes the show. he becomes very aggressive usually. Whereas the childlike faith is like a child who is so open to his parents and to his mother. Has faith, really has faith. Have I left something? Yeah? It's a very nice definition. Yes, when you want something precise, we need to turn to Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. That is known amongst us. Good. I will end here, although I'm tempted to go further because you all need a little pause. And there is a next seminar coming in the new conference room, which is very nice. We will be challenged today, I hear, with some intense philosophy. One thing, I want to make an invitation to all of you. Today in the evening, at Aratik time, we start already. We want to sing some very nice Krishna bhajans. Very simple to sing and very nice. And I also want to explain something about singing and bhajan. Explain means a few prayers we will pray. So it would be nice if you come, because we need to fill the available space with all the sound. Maybe if you can't come all the time, but only peek in, please do peek in. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi hari hari bo.